Dead butt syndrome.
You have it?
Of course I have it. I sit on my ass for work all day, and then I sit on my ass playing video games, and then I sit on my ass fucking recording this podcast. I gotta add the hip bridges. And it's been winter. I can't go for my walkies.
I was gonna say, how bad is it?
It's not that bad.
Okay. It's just more
the
like...
The top is defined, and the bottom is jiggle. And it's like, oh. Oh, and it contributes to my plantar fasciitis.
So what are you going to do about it?
I just told you.
Okay, so you're going to go...
If you listen to me, podcasting is about talking and listening.
I'm sorry. If I was listening to you, I wouldn't be talking myself. How would that work?
That's exactly why so many white men make podcasts. Because they are really good at talking and not listening. But they don't realize, unlike our podcast, it's about listening.
Okay, I'll give you that. It is about listening.
It's all about listening.
I'm going to listen to you for the rest of this episode.
Yay! How's your butt? Is it alive? He just looked at me and kind of tilted his head and raised his eyebrows a little bit. I don't know what that means.
Never. Then in the back half of our show, oat milk versus cashew milk. We settle the debate.
Never. If you do the daylight savings crime, you got to do the daylight savings time. Welcome to Light Gaming. This is the lighthearted video gaming podcast about light games, games that you can finish within the span of a week, reasonably, as an adult. I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I am joined by the frivolous, frazzled French co-host of Light, Alexander Hambra.
Two of those are correct.
Mm-hmm. We'll leave it to you to decide which one. Say hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening. Guten Tag and bonjour to you all. And if I didn't say your language, I'm sorry. We've only got so much time in the day. I only spoke the ones. We are going to be talking about the 2024 Games for Impact winner, Neva. This was a real audiovisual treat. Alex, tell us, give us the gritty details about Neva. Neva. Boy, can't speak today.
Hey, remember 2 weeks ago I was talking about games that are super pretty but don't have a ton going on?
How about this one? Is that this?
Okay, I'm being a little mean. This is a very good one of those, but we'll talk about the actual substance here or complicated...
Yeah.
Lack thereof.
But this is the part of the podcast where you talk about the boring stuff.
Okay, yes, fine. Okay, Neva, October 2024 release from Nomada Studio. Comes out from our friends at Devolver Digital. They tend to put out good stuff. This is the second game from the studio that made Grease, which was a similar sort of like platformer that came out in 2018, I want to say.
I think you're right.
Yeah, similar to that game. If you played that game, you kind of know what to expect here. Expect fairly basic platforming. Expect quite good audio design. Expect genuinely beautiful visuals. Like, truly some of the most impressive artistic, like, moving artistic sort of stuff I've seen in a game in a long while.
Very, very good. Lots of beautiful set pieces. It's a 2D side-scrolling platformer game with some basic combat elements and a whole lot of audiovisual storytelling treats for those who are in the mood to feel a little bit sad. But I will issue a content warning about this game as it does put animals in harm's way. So
a few different times. Yep.
Yeah. If that's not your bag, baby, this game should be a skip for you.
I will say, very effective. The first time that like something seems to happen to Neva, your little like wolf dog companion, and all of a sudden you hear the distressed animal noises,
yes,
and it sure grabbed me by the heart. Yes. I sure was like, I gotta get the fuck over there.
So this is, of course, the main gimmick of this game is that you are a little a girl with dark skin and a big cloud of hair, big white cloud, a cloud of white hair around you, and you are joined in your journey by a little dog with antlers, a little white dog with antlers named Neba, and the only voice line your girl character has is Neba. She will call the dog over to her, and as the game progresses in time, the dog will grow up and become less and less scared of the encroaching darkness that you and your doggy companion must fend off. You have a stick, and with that stick, you banish the darkness. There's little grubby hands that come out of the background, and the backgrounds and the art in this game are all the whole visual theme is that everything is in very, very vivid color, but there is this encroaching darkness or blight or miasma or what have you. There's nothing explicitly stated apart from the word Neba in this game at all, so it's all open to interpretation. You journey with your dog across these side-scrolling landscapes and platforming puzzles through various tricks of the light and other sorts of moving puzzle set pieces where in the foreground tends to blend in with the background and in some ways that we've maybe seen before, to be honest. But, you know, it's neat kind of game. And you are, of course, traveling. One of the gimmicks that comes up most frequently is that you have this dog, and of course your dog gets put in peril quite often. And as Alex said, he said, as just now, that was very effective on him. For me?
Didn't care? Didn't give a shit about the dog?
No. First time those grabby hands grabbed that dog, I was like, do it, game. Commit. Commit to the bit. I don't care. And to the game's credit, it committed to the bit.
Wait, really?
Of course. Yeah. The grabby hands, like, they slowly descend. And then, yeah. I mean, I want to, like, they put the work
sure.
in there.
Okay,
to,
yeah.
The devs put the work in there to kill that dog, and I'm going to make sure that they get them getting my money's worth. This is... I'm just not... I don't know what it is about animals in video games. And, like, this game, right in its opening sequence, is so very straightforward with how it's going to present itself and how it's going to attempt to touch you and your emotions right away, that I, as the resident contrarian, felt the immediate impulse to be like, well, if that's how you're gonna play it,
yeah, I mean,
what, like, if I don't care?
The problem I have with how we're gonna talk about this is this, right? Mm-hmm. I actually quite enjoyed playing this.
Yeah,
I had a good time with this. It was, like, you know, 6-7 hours long. It was beautiful. It had some interesting platforming challenges, all that stuff. I don't know that the stuff that is good about it is super interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
Whereas I can think of many things that I am critical of about it that are more interesting to get into. But that makes me sound like I, like, really dislike the game when I didn't really. Like I said, I quite liked it. It's just that, like, the good stuff is boring and the bad stuff is interesting.
Sounds a lot like, I mean, maybe we do just dislike this game. Like, I just, so it's an interesting exercise, of course, in doing a podcast like this. Like, yeah, we can say the audio visuals are beautiful. What are we going to talk about? There is a kind of a watercolor, abstract, maybe at times pointillist aesthetic, maybe at times very minimalist. As the chapters progress, the art style tends to kind of change in broad strokes, but not so much an overall theme.
With the exception of one subchapter that was, I found, quite quite unnerving.
Yeah, there's a lot. They play a lot with light and dark. They play a lot with, like, light and darkness, and using white and black to sort of obscure the outlines of things. Because nothing, unlike Hollow Knight, nothing in this game pretty much has an outline. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So it's like, and I thought that was effective in some places and not so effective in others when it came to platforming and being like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to. Okay, like it wasn't immediately clear to my gamer brain where I was supposed to maybe land on certain floating platforms, because I thought maybe it was the black parts I was supposed to land on, but no, it's the white parts. And then it's like, but the other ones look like this. So there was a little bit of just of a learning curve in some spaces that was frustrating but very minor. Otherwise, I thought the visuals were very effective.
Like, I'm a big platformer guy, and, like, there's nothing new in this game. Like, every trick it pulls out for the platform mechanics is, like, you know, is pretty tried and true at this point. But the fundamentals were solid enough for me that, like, look, at the end of the day, I'm never going to be upset about spending a few hours doing some good sort of jumping puzzles.
Never going to be upset.
I'm never going to be upset about doing some, like, some solid jumping puzzles. Like,
sure.
Because you got an air dash also, and so you get a good amount of, like, you know, the Celeste style, like, jump, Celeste. Air dash to, like, make your way around.
Yeah, that's a good comparison point.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, not nearly as hardcore as Celeste. Or
not as hardcore as Celeste, and not as... it doesn't have the same level of storytelling as Celeste does. Celeste dares to use words, and it dares to say something extremely specific, and it pushed a lot of boundaries a long time ago. And this game does some very it goes across well-trodden ground with its story, apart from maybe like one sort of big kind of thing.
Well, so because here's my thing, I had forgotten that this won Games for Impact last year.
Yeah. Oh, it did.
Why?
Never.
I don't know what this game is about, and that's kind of the issue, right?
Like, I would say,
like, it's playing with some, like, it's got some, like, motifs you can pick up on with, like, the way the story plays out and some of the visuals and stuff like that, but it feels a little non-specific in a way that I had my trouble getting my hands around.
Compared to something like Chants of Sonara, which, as far as I understand, you've not played.
I've not played that, yes.
It's a game, that's a game about language, but also pretty much doesn't use words. But it doesn't use words in a way that's a lot more interesting and unique. This game is vaguely about the cycle of life and death, and about the seasons, and about... The thing is, it doesn't feel like it's about grief as much. It's about life and death. I don't feel like it goes too deep into death.
No, I would not say
that
so.
It was satisfying for me. I feel a little. It's okay. Again, maybe my perception is weird because I'm a complete animal murdering psychopath, I guess, because I'm just like, let that dog get grabbed. Well, grabby hands want the dog, grabby hands get the dog.
Maybe I got a little bit hung up on this too much, but like the whole time I was playing it, I was like, all of the enemies in this game are just No Face from Spirited Away. Yeah, no, they just are. Like, not even, it's not just that they have sort of like the abstract no performer look with the white mask and the black robe. It's that the way that they move with their big kind of bulgy bodies and their spindly legs is just that sequence from Spirited Away where No Face is running through the bathhouse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are we doing with this? Like, not that it needs to be like a deliberate homage, but like, what is the actual image that we're, what are we trying to do with this,
like,
repeated image?
Are we trying to stave off death? Like, are we trying to stave off disease? Like, what is this? What is the actual problem here? Is it just sort of this inevitable struggle that we do? Like, and then why does the game tell its story in the way that why is the game telling this story this way? It's a little bit of an unconventional storytelling way, which is nice. That kind of guides you through seasons. But why did it do that? I ultimately don't know why it made the choices that it made, and I can't come up with anything satisfying either.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it makes it feel like, it felt a little insubstantial to me, which is like, again, like maybe not a problem, because it can just be sort of like a tone piece. Like, it can be basically sort of like an interactive poem, which I think is probably like the best way to compare it. It's like a platformer poem, I guess. But I don't know. I see art this good, and I'm like trying to figure out like what you can be doing with that art.
Yeah. Well, you'd mentioned
that might be me also sort of like not taking the game on its own terms, because it is the thing that it is. And the thing that it is very like, you know, it's very pretty. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Like sometimes you do just make something that is like visually arresting.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's an audiovisual treat. It's cozy in a way. But after playing it, I looked up like some other people's reactions to it, and I felt there were a lot of other, you know, reactors. And again, maybe they're making content for the sake of making it and just overreacting, but they were all like, "Oh, I'm crying right at the start." And I was like, Man, really? Like, I don't know.
No, same with you. Like the animal stuff, I was like, okay, we're establishing the kind of the themes that we're playing with here, but the immediate opening sequence with, like, you know, the dead bird and then the dead wolf or whatever, which I'm not spoiling. It's the first 30
seconds. It's the first 30 seconds, yeah. I
don't really think that it is trying to be tear-jerking in that explicit of a way. I do think that it is trying, like, okay, here's what... If it is about something, it is about the cycle of life and death, and it is about sort of moving through that, mm-hmm. and kind of like, and like, and it is about moving through the experience of death and the experience of loss, and like, and it doesn't feel like it wants us to dwell so specifically on, like, you know, images that are meant to cause us to feel distressed.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that as well. You had mentioned the...
I'm overstating it.
You had mentioned the... other nominees for, or you mentioned the Games for Impact. And I was curious about the other nominees. They were Closer the Distance, Indica, which is on our list at some point to play.
Yes.
I want to play the Nun game.
I heard that game is very good.
Life is Strange Double Exposure, which is not on my list.
I've heard
I've heard some pretty disappointed emotions about that. Senua Saga Hellblade 2, also not on my list, but could be. Mm. And Tales of Kenzera Zao. A game I've only heard of through the Triple Click podcast and how much of a mouthful that name is. That one is apparently, I don't know, I kind of agree. I don't really want to get into it, though, too much. But that's, I think, really going to do it for our discussion with Neva. It's like, yeah, because it was a winner, I was hoping to feel a little bit more than I did, and I ended up just sort of going back into my Yoshi's Island experience of being like, oh, the baby's gone again. Like, like it didn't, it did the Yoshi's Island thing without really compelling me to go save the damn duck.
It reminded me a lot, actually, of, I don't know how much they do these anymore, but there was a real trend, back towards the end of last decade pre-COVID of like, you'd like some organization would like do like a temporary takeover of like an art museum or like a local place or whatever, and they'd set up like laptops everywhere to like play, like set up like different indie games so that people who don't normally play games could wander through and like experience games as art. You ever go to one of these?
I never heard of anything like that. Sorry for yawning. Jeez, it's daylight savings time, so it's just we're all going through it. I've never heard of anything like that.
I went to a few of these, and like the people running them seemed like genuinely earnest, and I think they did a pretty good job like curating stuff. But the games in question were always kind of picked for this sort of ability to like to pick up and put down in like a 5-minute chunk and to like sort of like have experienced something like striking or interesting in that short time period. Mm-hmm. But like obviously you're not having someone stand there and play Neva for 2.5 hours.
So you're not doing like, it's not Balatro.
Exactly. It's like, this game reminds me of a lot of stuff that was sort of like there was like an art game complex almost of sort of like games that were being produced to be almost appreciated in this manner, and Neva feels in lineage with that in a way that I don't know that we actually see a ton of these anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, I was curious about it, and that's what this podcast is for. It's for us to kind of explore and try a new thing every week and get a new perspective on it. And that is our discussion on Neva. We are going to go toss to the ad break. Got a very special thing for our ad break this week. And then when we come back, we are partaking in March Madness, but not in the way you might expect. Or, if you've been here a while, exactly in the way you might expect.
I'll be shocked if anyone predicts this one.
Somebody might predict this one.
Okay.
Well, you remember that game, that indie game winner of the year, that one year, whatever year it was, Dave the Diver?
Yeah, I remember Dave the Diver.
And you remember that really, really awesome Sega game, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth?
I remember you telling me about that game.
You remember, did you remember that it was announced, was it at the Game Awards, that there was a crossover between the two?
Now that you mention it, I recall this.
Well, that's not the only Dave the Diver crossover coming in 2025.
Such a tortured lead, but okay.
The team at Dave the Diver have, since they've listened to this podcast religiously and they know that I'm a fan of both Dave the Diver and Like a Dragon, have decided to give us exclusive previews into their upcoming crossover episodes for the remainder of the year.
Holy shit, really?
Are you stoked for this?
Actually, yes. Wait, what do we got?
Okay, we got... Okay, I'm going to just try my best to read the copy here. Rains the Diver, get ready to get scared and spooky in the lagoon with Dave the Diver, ex Resident Evil.
Whoa, holy shit.
Umbrella Corp has made its way to the Blue Hole and released the T-Virus in its deep azure waters. Team up with Carlos from Resident Evil 3, of all people, to take down the staggeringly powerful Nemesis Shark.
Wait, this sounds sick, actually.
You were wondering what Carlos was up to after the events of Resident Evil 3? Well, he went fishing. Redesign your menu at Bancho Sushi. Get it? Get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Yep.
And include red and green herb to your seaweed soup. Pour up a first aid spray cocktail for your guests and even serve up a helping of a Jill sandwich. Check out Dave the Diver Resident Evil crossover this summer 2025. Are you not stoked?
That actually sounds great.
That sounds awesome. I hope they give me a little Jill hat for, I don't know, Yoshie. Why not?
I hope that I get one of Chris's biceps.
Just one. And that's not all. In the autumn... upcoming 2025, the team got something really groundbreaking coming up. Some might even call it revolutionary. That's right. You can zoom in your little boat as Dave the Diver teams up with Disco Elysium.
I don't know how I feel about this one.
A mysterious stranger nearly trashes Bancho Sushi in a drinking bender and forgets his own name. Oh, no. It's up to you to develop Dave's internalized thought patterns as you help him retrieve the stranger's possessions that he threw down into the blue hole. Maybe you should start to get the shivers in more places than just the glacier. Or perhaps all you need to take down that giant squid are some finger pistols? Choose your own ideological path in the island empire of Dave the Diver and Disco Elysium.
Boy, that management shakeup over there was a real hot mess, huh?
What thought patterns do you think you're going to have Dave go down?
I'm going to interrogate whether or not fish are the real people and we are actually fish.
I'm going to go into the homosexual underground. Finally, this winter, the ultimate Dave the Diver challenge is here. It's huge. It's got a huge chest, and it's hungry for bananas, probably. I don't know much about this property. It's the crossover event of the year, if that year was 20 years ago. Get ready, Godzilla who? Get ready for Dave the Diver and Peter Jackson's King Kong, the official game of the movie.
Whoa, they got... They got the license?
They got that license.
Who even has it at this point? Like, Tecmo?
Take your boat over to Skull Island and do all the cool things that make King Kong so iconic. Like, protect Anne in your fist, I guess. I don't know. Also, they added a King Kong boss battle. What the hell else do you want? Shut up and play Dave the Diver and Peter Jackson's King Kong, the official game of the movie.
It's an Ubisoft game. That game sucks shit.
Don't say that. I'm really excited for all of our...
Yes, I am also really excited for all of the crossover properties.
Which one are you most excited for?
Probably Yakuza by default.
Okay, we're back. Did you predict what our March Madness bracket was going to be during that ad break?
Types of melon!
Gosh, that's a really short. We're down to the final four already.
Cantaloupe. We got watermelon.
We got honeydew. And we have melon.
Is pineapple a melon?
Pineapple is not a melon. I can't believe you just committed the words, "Is pineapple a melon?" to tape. Okay.
I mean, when I go to the store and buy fruit cups, the fruit cup comes with honeydew and cantaloupe and sometimes watermelon and pineapple.
True.
So,
you know what? Let me just, you know, but maybe there's egg on my face. Is pineapple a melon? No. No, it's not. Anyway, no, it's not melons. It is, in fact, upcoming is the third week of the month, and we have yet to decide on a particular game in a series that we revisit every month so far this year.
By which you mean we decided last week and have changed our mind.
Yes, pretty much. And also, we took January off, so there was only one other month this year. Anyway, this is our Nancy Drew March Madness bracket! Woohoo!
So we have populated a bracket with 16 Nancy Drew titles.
16, because we've played four of them and there were 34, so we didn't have enough for 32. Unless we wanted to include the movie and TV show, which I did not. And also, this is going to take more time than we realize, because we're going to roll. I'm going to have to find some dice. We're going to roll to see who's going to argue for which game in each of the brackets. So we've got 16. We're going to give ourselves 20 seconds to argue. If we want to, for each one. And I randomly used a wheel to eliminate around, what is it, 8 of the contestants? No, like actually it was like 12 or something.
Yeah, we had to get down to 16. So we
whittled it down to 16, not by any choice, except for one. We thankfully landed on,
one of them has been removed from sale because it contains racism.
Yeah.
So we're not covering that one.
Yeah, no. Ransom of the Seven Ships was discontinued for its portrayal of, I believe, blackface. So do not get that one. We will not be talking about it. You should know it exists. We'll just, accept Nancy Drew with its surprisingly complicated history behind it. Wow. Unfortunate. Just like Joni Mitchell. That was a tough one to learn about. Art Nouveau. Did you know about that?
No.
That was Joni Mitchell's like blackface alternate persona, Art Nouveau.
Okay, I've
heard
of this.
Where she was like, that's not blackface, that's a real character. And it's like, it's so not, and it super is blackface.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
It's so easy, guys. Just don't do it.
Just don't do it. It's never been good. The SNL skit is already out there, so we don't have to say it. Anyway, there's now time to start the Nancy Drew bracket. Let me go get a die, or actually, can I just like get a coin? Okay, so the first two Nancy Drew games in our bracket are Nancy Drew Stay Tuned for Danger from 1999 and Nancy Drew Sea of Darkness from 2015. Okay, so call it in the air. I'm going to flip a coin, and then you can pick which one you do. Basically. Or do I want to just say, okay, we'll just do a static way. I'm going to flip a coin, and if it's heads, then I get the first one. And if it's tails, I get the second one. Flip a coin, and it is heads. So I get Stay Tuned for Danger, and you get Sea of Darkness. Are you ready to argue
I'm ready,
for Sea
yes.
of Darkness? Okay, I'm going to go. Give us 20-second timer here. I'll just set a stopwatch instead. And I will start with Stay Tuned for Danger. Stay Tuned for Danger. Second installment. So it's a really old one. You know you wanted to do old ones. Officially discontinued before being released. And it looks like, it looks pink as hell. It's on a TV set. Oh, man. Actually, this one looks kind of great. I just hope it would run on my computer. It's the only... But it's not your problem. All right, your turn.
Sea of Darkness is definitely a controversial entry in the series. Fans didn't really expect them to graphically kill off Bess Marvin in the opening sequence, but set the stage for... It does set the stage for an epic mystery to follow, so I think we should definitely prioritize Sea of Darkness.
I would love to see Bess die. All right, Sea of Darkness it is. You've won me over. So Sea of Darkness advances to the next round. All right, the next two games are Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon and The Creature of Kapu Cave. Okay, so heads, I get the first one and go first. Second, tail. Okay, tails. So you get the first one, you get to go first.
So Last Train to Blue Moon Canyon has a sick train, and it's got a canyon, and the moon is blue. I mean, I'm just describing things that are in the game at this point. Can you believe the pitch?
All right, that's a good pitch. But I just gotta say, The Creature of Kapu Cave, man, that reminds me of Choo Choo Rocket and the orange cat called Kapu Kapu. Did you ever play Choo Choo Rocket on the Dreamcast?
Yeah, Choo Choo Rocket fucking rules.
Yeah, that game fucking rules. Imagine that we get to go to the cave where all the Kapu Kapu are.
Oh, man, is that what that game is?
Absolutely.
Okay, I think that's it.
All right, so Kapu Cave is going forward. Choo Choo Rocket does fucking rule, though. Man. Okay, next up is... Let me make sure we're recording. Okay, we're so good. Next up in the Nancy Drew March Madness bracket of death is number 5, which is the final scene. Oh, boy. And number 27, the deadly device. Flipping a coin. I got to argue for the final scene. And you got to argue for the deadly device. Okay, so final scene is another theater one, right? This one was really, really early, which I know you want to do. And, you know, I wanted to play it. It definitely kept breaking on my machine, but gosh dang it, I'm going to figure it out, okay? It's been a thorn in my side, and dang it, I want to play this game. Your turn.
The deadly device appears to be about a giant steampunk laboratory and a big machine that kills people.
Well, oh my gosh. He's dying. This guy's dead to a Tesla coil.
Look at this device. Isn't it pretty sick?
Holy shit. That looks really sick. All right. Sorry, final scene. That white whale
is deadly device getting away from me.
Okay, deadly device. Next up in the bracket, Secrets of the Scarlet Hand. Ooh. And Alibi and Ashes. Oh, fuck yes. God, I hope I get Alibi and Ashes. Please, 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 please. Damn it. Okay, fuck. Since I'm heads, I go first here. Secret of the Scarlet Hand, 6th installment. Again, another Erd one. Well, hold on now. There's a big red handprint, and then they're in a jungle, and there's like Legends of the Hidden Temple bullshit. I do love that. I love Nickelodeon, and I'm assuming that that's what this game is. I always wanted to do the Shrine of the Silver Monkey, because I feel like I could have done that better than any of those damn kids on the show. So that's why we should play Secret of the Scarlet Hand. All right, your turn for Alibi and Ashes.
Yeah, Alibi and Ashes sucks, and we should never play it.
I think we should go to Alibi and Ashes.
Fine. Advance Alibi and Ashes to the next round.
I really want to talk about that game, but you genuinely, you also have to want to talk about it.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I do. I'm just messing with you.
Okay, okay. Thank you. For now, you're going through. You're going through. That's like the one Nancy Drew game I've played that he hasn't. It's fucking wild. All right. Next up. Number 3, Message in a Haunted Mansion. Or number 31, Labyrinth of Lies. Ooh, I know which one I hope I want. Flipping that coin, baby. I didn't get the one I want. I get number 3, you get in the Labyrinth of Lies. All right, man, I'm getting a lot of heads here. If this were Pokemon TCG Pocket, that'd be great. Well, no, it wouldn't, because going first sucks. Anyway, Message in a Haunted Mansion. Okay, this looks like this cover looks like an early R.L. Stine book. That gets me jazzed. That gets me super jazzed.
Looks like Welcome to Dead House. You're correct.
Looks exactly like Welcome to Dead House. There's a Victorian style house with like a circular spire, lightning all around it. And again, it is. Oh, this one came out. This is the first one of the new millennium. This was 2000. Wow. That's it. All right, your turn.
So Labyrinth of Lies appears to be set in Greece, and I know you want to see Nancy Drew's take on ancient Greece.
God, that is exactly what I want to see. Fuck. Labyrinth of Lies it is. We're almost done with the first round. The next one, number 11 versus number 16. Curse of Blackmoor Manor versus White Wolf of Icicle Creek. I get heads again. Curse of Blackmoor Manor. This one is... Ooh, okay, she's got a little Red Riding Hood. It's another haunted house. So if we got a chance, there's bats all over the place. Freaking bats. I love bats. That's great. Blackmoor Manor, it's still in that golden era where, like, you know, I don't know. It's definitely going to be way different than Waverly Academy, right? Your turn. Best I could do.
See, White Wolf of Icicle Creek, like, this looks like if Shadow Ranch was like the game for horse girls, this appears to be the game for wolf girls. Like, it's set at a cool, looks like a lodge in the Arctic wilderness. Lots of good sort of like Midwestern winter vibes in a way that, like, you know, I think you and I can both appreciate. It's got a cooking mini game.
All right,
it's got actually the same cooking mini game as it looks like was in Waverly Academy.
I'm in. White Wolf of Icicle Creek, you move on. Okay, next. Second to last, and then we're going to really get through this. We're going to get the final eight. Number 4 and number 28. Treasure in the Royal Tower versus Ghost of Thornton Hall. Ooh. Okay, finally, I get Tails. So you go first with the Treasure in Royal Tower.
So this is based on, I'm pretty sure, one of the very early Nancy Drew books, and which means that the actual mystery in the core of it is probably going to be fairly solid and make sense, which I know it's not a selling point for you, but it's sometimes a selling point for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it's got lots of cool gothic vibes, and you're wandering around the corridors of this ancient tower and discovering its treasure.
Okay, so my turn. Look. Look at this image I put up of
Okay, oh yeah, advance
it's
that.
It's just a lady. There's just a lady on the game, and her eyes are wide open. Her mascara is running. She's going,
Is it fucking Tomie? Did Junji Ito illustrate this?
The Ghost of Thornton Hall moves forward. And finally, 9 versus 23. I don't think I can sing that ditty. Danger on Deception Island. It's an island just called Deception Island.
There are a number of these set on islands.
Versus Shadow at the Water's Edge. That's just the ring. That looks like the Ring or a Grudge or something. That's the one where you go to Japan.
Yes,
that's Japan.
Is. That's the one.
You really want to do that one?
It's right. Something.
I got Tails, so that one's mine.
So what was mine again?
Yours is Danger on Deception Island. Oh,
what number is that?
Number 9. That looks good too.
The whale, the big
this
orca,
is a big orca coming at you. Go
Boy,
for it, man.
You know, Danger on Deception Island, just from the images, implies that at least at one point, it'll be possible for Nancy Drew to die getting eaten by an orca.
God, I do.
That's the pitch.
Oh my God, I want that. Nancy Drew's Shadow at the Water's Edge, you know this already. She travels as an English teacher to Kyoto with friends Bess Marvin and George Fane as a reward for solving the preceding mystery. Oh my God.
The whole thing takes place like a Japanese inn with like hot springs and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like such a good episode. But that makes me, I know this is my pitch, but man, that makes me want to do Trail of the Twister first.
Okay. Maybe we got to follow them up back to back.
I know. I've now
doubt there's any real continuity.
I doubt it. But the orca sounds so funny.
Check out this Japanese subway map.
No spoilers. We got. All right. So that was Deception Island. We got to wrap this up, and we don't really want to do 8. And then 4, and then 2.
Yeah, no, I think we can just be like, let's just talk. We know what they all are now.
Yeah, let's put them in a pool. Let's divide them into pool. Let's at least cut them in half.
Sure. All right.
So we're gonna do the first 4 and the second 4 and decide on which ones we want. So in the first pool, there's the Sea of Darkness, Creature of Kapu Kapu Cave, mm-hmm. Deadly Device, and Alibi of Ashes. Deadly Device is that steampunk one, which looks really bad.
I think I prefer Alibi to Ashes over Deadly Device.
Oh, no. These are all in. This is like American Idol style.
Oh, okay.
They're put in a room and then they get the whole room is eliminated. So, yeah, that's what makes this hard. And then the second one is Labyrinth of Lies, White Wolf of Icicle Creek, Ghost of Thornton Hall, and Deception Island with the Orca. Okay. So, positive ones. Alibi and Ashes is positive. Deadly Device, that game looks so bad.
So you're putting
that as a negative.
Oh, okay.
Creature of Kapu Cave is gonna be more Legend of the Hidden Temple shit. I'm interested in that. Even like Shattered Medallion was a great episode.
It certainly was.
It was a bad game, but I'm down for more. Man, they revisit that well a lot, don't they?
Yeah, no, there are a lot of these take place on tropical islands.
And Sea of Darkness is a real, that was the real, real old one, right? No. Sea of Darkness is a really, really new one.
Yeah.
Where they kill, they don't actually kill her off.
No, I'm joking. I made it up on the spot.
That was a really good pitch.
Yes. No, I'd rather save Sea of Darkness. I want to hold off on like the really, really new ones for a while.
Yeah, we've done a lot of new ones.
Mm-hmm.
We've done two of a lot of new ones. Okay, so we'll put that in as a detractor in that category.
Yep.
Labyrinth of Lies, that's the old one, right?
Labyrinth of Lies is like mid-tier, I want to say.
Oh, no. Oh, Labyrinth is really new. One of them was, this is the Greek one, so yes. That's a plus.
Greek one goes forward.
White Wolf of Icicle Creek. I'm hesitant about that because I'm pretty sure the Game Grumps did a playthrough of this already, and I'm like, we're not gonna beat the popsicle thing.
How long ago was that?
Oh man, everyone makes it. Whatever. Well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe I'll be like, oh man, I know that one because the Game Grumps played it. Okay, you know what? I've talked myself into it. Ghost of Thornton Hall is definitely a plus.
Definitely a plus.
Well, let's take a look at what
you gotta eliminate something.
Jessalyn Thornton and her best friend Addison Hammond visit the uninhabited Thornton Hall on an island. The fun ended when Jessalyn disappeared.
I do have a pitch for this, but like it's not a good one. It's like a metagamey thing, which is so many Nancy Drew games take place in weird castles, manors, or halls that we need to kind of hit some of them, or else we're gonna like wind up
Waverly
with like five
Manor,
of them
right?
in a row.
Waverly
one
Academy, and it's true. We do need to hit some of them. That's true, but I mean,
but maybe not this week. Maybe not this month.
Maybe. The thing is, I think this half is going forward anyway because Deception Island is a plus for sure. Are you kidding me? The Orca? But so now we're down to our final four. I'm sorry, Alibi and Ashes, even though we kind of force you forward. It'll be another time. We'll deal with the arson game another time. Holy fuck.
I know some of what happens in that game.
Holy fuck, that game was wild and stupid.
You actually like played through it?
Oh, I played through it.
So you did
I did it on stream, yeah.
Did you have fun driving Nancy's car around? Okay, we can't talk too much about it. We'll cover it.
We'll save it. So now we're in the final four, and it's at this point we gotta cut down to two. So Labyrinth of Lies, Ancient Greece.
I think this sounds great. I would love to do this.
That one is a good one. White Wolf of Icicle Creek. I'm kind of medium on it, but it is one of the, it's not one of the older ones. It's like mid level. Labyrinth of Lies is very new. And again, we've done new ones, which was why we didn't do Sea of Darkness.
Yeah, but we did Shadow Ranch. Like we're switching it up.
That's true. We did do Shadow Ranch last. Ghost of Thornton Hall, I think can safely go. As funny as that image is, the moment I read Jessalyn and Jezebel and Androgynon and all those names, all those hard to pronounce names, I was like, I think I'm checking out. So, are you okay with eliminating Ghost of Thornton Hall?
Yep, that one.
It is not your time.
Ooh, wait, late breaking entry here. Apparently, on the Her Directive website, we could also throw in Real Mist Masterpiece Edition.
I don't think we should. I don't think we should do that.
Okay, well,
but unless Nancy Drew pops in Mist, and
I could mod Nancy Drew.
Yeah, you can mod it. Just put some voice lines in. And Deception Island. Now, does Deception Island make it to the top two? Or so we think. Labyrinth of Lies is in top two. Both of us are pretty high on that. Let's take a look at Deception Island.
Let's examine it in more detail.
What is the date for Deception Island? It was number 9.
2003.
Right? So it's another older one.
Mm-hmm.
When Kate Firestone, a friend of George Fane, invites Nancy Drew to Deception Island, and why is it called Deception Island? I'm gripped already.
Can I read you a clip from this interview, or from this review, rather?
Okay.
Deception Island, to me, has it all. A wide range of game environments, a host of credible characters, well-crafted graphics and ambiance, and a great plot that weaves the curiosities of the past with present-day mysteries into one entertaining package. It's full of credible characters.
Can I read this review of Labyrinth of Lies?
Yes.
At last, a World War II movie without Hollywood's tasteless and relentless storylines of battlefields. Blood and American heroes at the end. Love this film from start to finish. Let us never forget the past and honor the memory of those who suffered and died through truth.
Wow, that's really compelling.
I seem to have mistaken the Nancy Drew game for the 2014 World War II drama Labyrinth of Lies. Let me read this review on Reddit, on the Nancy Drew Reddit. Overall, 19 out of 25.
I mean, that's a pretty good score.
Not in the top tier of Nancy Drew games, but a solid entry that I think has decent replay value, particularly for puzzle lovers and those who like interacting with interesting suspects.
I mean, that sounds pretty compelling.
They're both so good.
Interesting suspects is promising.
That's really the meat of this game, right? Is how stupid are the characters? How dumb are they? It's like, yeah.
Should we flip a coin?
Oh.
Can we not decide?
Let's go on the count of three, and if we both say the same one, then it's it.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Labyrinth of Lies.
Okay. That's it.
Let's do it.
Nancy Drew, The Labyrinth of Lies. That's going to do it for this episode of Light Gaming. Next week, we're playing Nancy Drew and The Labyrinth of Lies. It was fate. It was ordained to be. Thank you so much for listening again. If you wouldn't mind, if you haven't already, like the podcast, give it the rating and stuff, all that engagement, algorithmic goodness. It's me, a vampire. I've taken over. All right, I'm back now. You could also subscribe to our social medias. We got a couple clips making the rounds. We'll make a couple more clips, stuff, maybe some of the ads you think are funny. And you can join our Discord and tell us, hey, why don't you guys make a clip of this really funny moment that you did? What, this ad? I like that Tovo.io ad. Go back and make a clip out of it. Why not? You know, interact with us. Please. We're so lonely.
Please, just you press any buttons.
Press the buttons that make me smile. All right. I've groveled enough. You could catch us next week where we're talking about Nancy Drew and the Labyrinth of Lies. I've been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I was joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodnight to the gamers of Light.
Good morning.